Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you. Woof, you guys, it has been a year of us doing business together. And in today's episode, we're going to dive into the juicy details, the lessons, the surprises that we had this past year.
We wanted to share the key takeaways that have really kind of hit for us in the last year, how we've grown, what our favorite moments have been, what some of our struggles have been, and really like how we wanted to share what we thought would be helpful for anyone else trying to start a business with someone or just being in business with somebody.
You're going to walk away with like, what are one, learn from us, but then two, really see like behind the scenes of what it's like to build a business, a brand in person, virtually, and the things that we had to put in place in order to make us succeed. And also the ever evolving parts of us that are continuing to figure this the fuck out.
Yeah. It's just a short, sweet little episode that we can't wait for you to listen to.
Enjoy.
Wow, we are celebrating 1 year in business together.
Literally. Which is crazy that it already passed.
I know. I can't believe it's been a year.
I remember being in like the virtual community recently and we did like a survey for all the girls. And I was like, technically, Sam has been a part of this community for a whole year. And it doesn't even feel that way.
It doesn't. I feel like time has flown by.
Yeah, it's been so insane. But it's also been like so good in so many ways. Like how... I don't know. Either it's like we've been so busy doing it or we've been just like flowing at the same time.
I think both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so one thing that we want to talk about this so much is like how we've evolved and like, I guess, what has business looked like for us this year?
Yeah.
I think viewing this last year and like seeing not only did we commit to certain things and like saw them through was, but also seeing them like people wanting to be a part of it. I think when you're starting in business, it's like, I have this idea. And do people want it?
Yeah.
Do people not want it? And not only did we put the gas on the vision, but like we really like stuck to like, what is it going to take from both of us to create the vision?
Yeah, it is kind of, I was actually thinking about this the other day. Corinne and I were talking about when we first started, we did walks and we had free walks that women could come and meet up with us and talk, and we would talk on these walks. And I was thinking the other day when we were talking about bringing them back, just like, wow, it evolved into so much more from just those walks.
What did it evolve into?
I mean, our wellness events. I think for me personally, like confidence in just holding the space for those type of experiences for women and cultivating a community that felt safe. I mean, the feedback we've received feels, I don't even have words to like the reviews we've received of our events or like of us is just so heart filled and makes me feel like all of every hard part of it was worth everything else. I don't know. What about for you?
Yeah, I think the events, what they were a reminder of is like, especially because as someone who started her business online first, you receive so much more in person.
Yeah.
And I think we both needed that to be able to carry us to the next thing. So a lot of people think like, oh, like what I'm putting out there isn't working, or I'm posting on LinkedIn, or I'm posting on social media, or I'm making calls and making cold calls, whatever your way of like reaching out to people is. Or like maybe you're like going to networking events and like you're showing up, but like you're not seeing momentum in your business. Mm-hmm. But I think what I really loved about the events this year was like, wow, like not only creating the spaces and like we've evolved as space holders to like reiterate that, but I think it was also just validating to experience in person in that way.
Yeah. I think it also was it really solidified for me that we're on the path. There were so many synchronicities in the last year and, you know, we have our virtual community and then having the in-person community and then also having the podcast, like each part of it, I feel brings such a different energy and experience. And then recording these episodes, every time we sit down, I'm just like, oh yeah, this might be my favorite part of all of it is like the conversations we have with each other and with others. But then I would say the in-person and virtual are a close second because just bringing together women, even though I love men too, and I loved our co-ed event, but like bringing together women in these sacred spaces just feels really magical.
Absolutely.
So my question, maybe we can give them some light into like, who have we had to evolve as we've done all these things? And how have you figured it out? Because I don't think people really have behind the scenes into like, what does it really take to throw an event? Yeah. What does it take for us to do the podcast in this space? Like, for those that don't know, like, we don't have an official podcasting studio.
Yeah.
Like, everything that we're doing has logistics to it. And I think sometimes you're like, well, how am I going to get it done? I think one thing is like, we've always kind of leaned into like, this is going to get done.
Yes.
There wasn't this like how or what, like as a way to like get ourselves out of it. Like, we always decided that we were going to do the thing.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings us to this whole thing of like committing to the vision. Because for us, like behind the scenes, every place that we've ever chosen, we've had to pay for. Mm-hmm. Never do we like the podcasting space. So we end up decorating it, setting up all the chairs the way that we want to. Our husbands have to be a part of it. Like, we could not do this podcast right now without you, without Austin, who's here to set us up with it. That has to have a conversation with him and his skill sets to like coordinate with his calendar. And then we prioritize in person because we want to create such a level of depth for ourselves, but also for our listeners. So then now you're coordinating with people that you want to get onto the show. And one thing for us that was so interesting, like, we put an application out there and there was like 200 plus people to apply to be on our podcast. That's overwhelming. Who do you pick to be on the podcast? What do people want to hear? How are the conversations going to be? You know, these are all the things that we had to move through in order to commit to the vision that we originally, the vision that we thought, right? Because I think that's always constantly moving a little bit more.
Yeah. I also think pulling the thread on one thing you said prior, which is like to speaking to people who feel like, oh, I'm not getting feedback, or I'm not getting someone to show up, or there's only one person. Like, when we first started our walks, there wasn't a lot of people. And even one walk, nobody showed up.
But I was alone.
Yeah, it was just you because I couldn't be there.
And I cried.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was not
but
good.
But we just kept going. And we ended up selling out our first wellness event, which is pretty amazing.
Like 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
And then every wellness event that happened, like, not every single one of them sold out.
Yeah.
Most of them did. But every single time, whoever was in the room, whether it was 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, it was always very perfect. And the one thing that we stood up for today is, like, no matter if one person comes or if 50 people come, we're going to show up the same way.
Yeah.
And you can feel like we got to taste the different types of events that we really liked and how many people we wanted to hold, especially with what we wanted to create.
Yeah. Which sounds like you're saying experiment, because you don't know until you experience it. Which is so true.
Which we always talk about that, right? Like, we're always like, you have to experience it in order to know. And I think in business, it's so easy to see how other people are doing it, but yes, use them as like a, I don't know, like a cue of like an idea of like, yes, that might be something I want to do. But you really don't know if you want to do business that way until you go through it, I think was the biggest lesson.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying too, you're speaking to the fact, we've talked about this before, of like the vision, being able to shift the vision too, or the belief systems of what we're creating, and being able to kind of navigate when we have to shift the vision a little bit or change it or add something.
Mm-hmm. One strong, because let's talk about belief systems. Hmm. So I think, what were some strong beliefs that you had to anchor into to create what we created this last year?
I think you spoke to one already, which is like, regardless of how many people come or how many people show up, we're going to show up as all of ourselves, and we're going to put it on as if there was 100 people, even if there's 5 or 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really great, because I can admit, like, I'd be the type of person to get discouraged by one, or even like when you did the walk and no one showed up, I would have been upset too, you know? But I think because our vision was so strong of what we're creating, it was just like, no, we're showing up no matter what. And the impact that was received was validation enough to continue, even when there was only a few people.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other part for me in that was the fact that we were doing it together.
Yeah.
Because I think this is the part that I think is like, so it's like unintentional accountability, like, which is really what it comes down to, because you're not, it's not just you. You can decide like, oh, I'm not feeling it this morning. Like, no, Sam and I said that we were going to do this. And not only do I feel responsible to do it for myself, but I feel like even more responsible to do it because I told Samantha I was going to do it.
Yeah. Same. I think coming full circle too is, I think about the podcast party, and we chose to go to London. and come back 2 days before the party. And we were in London. We had like maybe 10 days before our event, and we needed to sell a specific, or we wanted and needed to sell a specific number of tickets. And I think there was a moment we probably both maybe felt a little discouraged, like, oh, it's not going to happen. And then we were just, we both come together and we're like, nope, it's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. And we did. And we sold it out. So
I think 14 tickets in like 4 days.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I want to like pull for people that are listening. I think is like people don't know they want to come to your events. And I think what we did a lot was like the cold reach out. Like I think mm-hmm. people put their thing on Instagram, they put it on Eventbrite, and they're like, come to my event.
Yeah.
And I think the other takeaway from this year is like, I think people really truly want to be invited.
Yeah.
They want to be thought of. They want to be like, oh, I didn't even think about that event. And I think the higher level of like that I think about sometimes too is like, not only do I want to invite specific people, but I'm also like, who needs to be in the room with each other?
Yeah.
Because I think we're connecting so many amazing people, and I love the intentionality of you're an amazing person. You're an amazing person. Come to our event so you guys can meet.
You
and
need
to I
know
think
each other, yeah.
That happened also because we were intentional about it, but also because we weren't. Like people were walking away with like new friends, mm-hmm. new connections, new clients.
Yeah.
A lot of people received new clients by being at our events. A lot of people have also expressed to us that they're getting new clients by listening to the podcast. And I'm like, wait, what? Like yeah. you were a guest on our podcast and you got new clients and business is doing better because people are booking calls with you. Like that makes us feel so good. And that's the other shift or belief is like, this isn't about me. This is about who we're creating this for.
Yeah.
And I think that has been increasingly like so huge for me because this isn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you create business, you're like, everything's about me. And if they don't like me, then it's about me.
Yeah.
you know? Totally. And now it's like, no, I love that this is about everyone else and everyone's winning. Like if I see you win, like then we all win.
We all win. Yeah, that's so true. What do you, are there any other beliefs that you feel like you shifted or overcame or needed to have in order to get to where we are?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think just the belief that everything's happening for you in like a totally different way, but also everything happening through me. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the behind the scenes shit hits the fan type situations where you're like, oh, like we were in Arizona, and I remember like specifically like some of the piece of the equipment didn't make it to Arizona. Yeah. And we're up at night and we're buying things late last minute, and or I got in a car accident the day before the podcast party, and like yeah. there's things that you can't predict. But I think one of the biggest mindset shifts that I've made is that every single time things get hard, there's a miracle on the other side that I didn't even plan.
Yeah.
And knowing that like right before that time where like things get like the tension is there, or like, ooh, things are really hard, how am I going to figure this out? Like, are people going to come or are people not going to come? That like tension is like the most important part for miracles to happen, to like move through it. Like I either have a choice to be like, okay, fine, I'm going to listen to the part of me that says that it's not going to happen, or yeah. I'm going to move through it and realize that this is happening for me and I don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's really pushed us to our edges in a lot of mm-hmm. ways, in such a beautiful way. And it's, I think back to when Rochelle was on our podcast and she talked about meeting your edge, and that was such an inspiring conversation. And then to come full circle, and it's, we've met so many edges, like in partnership and friendship and business and like in the event space, and are people going to show up? And it made me have even more confidence that, oh, we can do this. Like we can mm-hmm. do hard things, and we can meet our edge, and we can push past our edge, and we are capable of a lot. And I think just as your partner and like witnessing it, you, like your capacity has expanded so much, which mm-hmm. was your intention at the beginning of when we started this, like not necessarily even in the podcast, but just in general, was to like be able to hold more and have more capacity. And I think you've done such an amazing job of that. And I see you holding way more and taking on more and having more energy and all the things that come with being able to hold more.
Yeah. But I couldn't have done that without you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like, everything comes with good timing. The other lessons that we've learned when we talked about the vision, we've talked about, what was the other one? A communication.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
So I think we talk about communication so much, because what I don't think people realize is happening all the time is there's this unconscious communication that is ongoing 24/7 mm-hmm. all the time. And in our own business, like making sure that we are communicating all the details and assumptions, like even the way I think I remember, like, I'm constantly like even asking Samantha, like, what are your thoughts on this? Not because I'm like challenging her thought, but because I want to know, how do you view this? Because I might view business differently. Mm-hmm. And that's been like, I think, a really good sweet spot for us to know, like, how much information do we have about this thing? How educated are we? Do we know what we're doing? Do we not know what we're doing? Where do we want to go? Because my intention in that is to make sure that we're aligned on how we're communicating. Because there's been definitely moments where we've said, this is what we're going to do, or this is what we want. And one of us is living on planet Earth and the other one's on the moon because our communication just got mismatched. And I think that only comes from, again, like we've talked about it so many times, just opening up the door to being like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what happened. Can we like repair or digest like what just went through, and we'll fix that moving forward?
I think that something that the last few years have showed me, but also just being in friendship and business together, is like, you have to be okay having hard conversations. And I think as a recovering people pleaser, and you too, it's like, sometimes you're just like, oh, I'll just process it in myself and move forward or whatever. Or you're afraid to ask the harder questions. But I think the more you dive into those difficult conversations, one, the closer you get and the more you understand each other. Because I think it's really easy, again, as a people pleaser or as someone who is very cognizant of how other people are responding, it's easy to make assumptions in how you think they're taking what you're saying, or how, like exactly what you said, how they're perceiving a situation. And I found that the more you have the hard conversations, and the more we've had hard conversations or challenging conversations, like the more we can understand each other and realize like, oh, I'm making this whole story up in my head about something that's not even true.
The thing that's coming to my mind is like, Sam and I didn't just start dating, like we got married.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like in a lot of ways we're navigating a marriage and we're raising this business.
Yeah. I said to Austin, we have the other day, child. I have two husbands.
Yeah, like we have a child, and you know, like that's that dynamic. Just take that, like how you navigate your marriage is like what we're doing in Tenfolds and our friendship/business partnership. And even Dakota brought this up at the podcast party. He was like, oh, my business partner he knows everything about me. Like, he knows when to push, back, when to give me what I need. And I think that's what this year has been for us, to understand, when can I push Samantha? When do I need to love on Samantha? When do I need to like give her a break? When do I step in? Like, knowing that, not just one, you have to talk through it to figure it out, but then getting to the place where it is telepathic in some way, where you can just like support each other no matter what, but you're still going to have mishaps. And that has been probably the greatest gift from this last year.
Yeah.
Because you don't really get to do that at this age anymore with friendships. No. Like, I think about that, like the last friend that I had like that was my best friend from high school, where we were like in it every day. Like, I talked to her the minute that I woke up. I talked to her when I got in the car on the way home. Like, she knew every detail of my life. And the only other person I get to do that with is Nick.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, like my husband, who's like in the weeds every day. But now I've added a second person to my life that I definitely get to, like, we text the minute that we leave each other within seconds, or we're like talking about things and navigating that, which has been a whole nother thing. That's been a huge lesson. But like, you know, we're just like in it together. We're in conversation together all the time, which friendship today is like, I'll see you next weekend. And then you're like catching up that friend on like what happened, and you're kind of living in this like catch up mode versus like, hey, like, no, we're like daily, by the minute, sometimes hourly in it.
I know. I sometimes laugh when like we go for a weekend and we don't talk. I'm like, this feels weird. Although we all need breaks, of course, from each other, from everyone. But I'm just like, oh, this is so weird. I haven't heard from her in 5 hours or 24 hours.
Yeah. And I think the balance of that is giving my husband the time.
Same. Yeah. Both our husbands. Which, like, no voice noting in the car.
You know, that was the other intentions. Like, once we went to like we took October off to like not do events. I was like, damn, now I got to pour into these other relationships. But that takes time. And that's weird because we're spending so much time together.
Yeah.
So that's also like a whole nother dynamic. And I think I had another friend that told me, she's like, I'm so jealous about what you and Sam are going to have. I feel like I'm going to lose you. And I was like, now I kind of understand that feeling, because like no one gets the level of detail that we are in daily besides our
husbands. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, I think even for myself, like one of the things I've grown is just – being in discomfort when we don't agree on something or when one of us is upset or whatever. And the old me is like, we need to solve it right now. And instead mm-hmm. recognizing like, oh, I can give this space for us to process and come back when it feels aligned, and still show up for business and still show up in other ways. Like that's mm-hmm. also been a big lesson, I think, in navigating mm-hmm. like a dynamic that is a relationship and a business.
Totally.
It's a gift. I mean, it is. It's a gift and a practice, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, life is a gift and a practice.
Yeah. True.
I mean, we're out here playing the professional game.
True.
You know? The other thing that we've worked on so much in the vault has been establishing our roles mm-hmm. and redefining them over time. So, like, at the beginning of when we first met, you know, we're like, oh, this person's going to take on this, or this person has this skill set. And then over time, like switching that over time.
Yeah.
Just so that we get really clear on what our roles are going to be. And I still think they're still like evolving on how we support the business and how we grow them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it starts, you know, it was very clearly defined. Then it's like, oh, actually, I'm better at this, or let me take this off your plate. And I think having that constant conversation, I don't know, every few months, or if, you know, we meet 3 times a week, but like being able to say, you know what, I'm feeling like I'm taking on too much. Like, can you take this? Or here, let me take something off your plate. What makes the most mm-hmm. sense? I think we're flexible in those roles. And then there's obviously some things that just we each say that's our role and it stayed that way. But I think being flexible in those roles as you start to evolve and understand what the business is becoming. I mean, as it grows, you have new roles to take on.
Yeah, I just literally thought the same thing. Like, we've added new offers to our belt, right? Yeah. And like that was a whole other thing that we for those that know, we like launched the 21-day journey to being your fullest express self, and that was like learning a whole new thing. Like, we created a funnel, we created a landing page, we created videos for every single one. Like, we were really intentional about it. And like, now that we went through that process, like, I feel like both of us know what it actually takes to do that process. And yeah. when you add new things or add new ways of being, like email marketing, social media marketing, like, you, one, not one person needs to do all of it, but two, like, you can share that and shift that depending mm-hmm. on where you're at and also the skill set.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the more that you expand business, the way, obviously, I would love for us to get to a place where I have a team and I am not worrying about
we need a team.
The details, but we're manifesting that. But when you're in the nitty gritty of early business, you're in the weeds for all of it. All.
Yeah, you really are in the weeds of all the things that have to get done. And mm-hmm. I think building systems is another thing we've done this year that has helped a lot, like getting clear on the systems we're building and what they look like and how to make them successful.
What are
successful.
Some examples that we've done?
Like, I mean, Notion for sure was a big one. I think just having
we still got to do better.
I know we do need to get better at Notion. But I mean, I actually do appreciate like having a place to look through and be like, oh, okay, have I hit this? Have I done this? Like, what is Corinna working on? Like, it isn't, I know it'll get, it, once we really structure it, it'll get even better. But just having that as a place has been so helpful. You've also, both of us have built systems within the podcast of the different steps we do for show notes. And I mean, I don't think people realize like how many steps it takes to put on a podcast and really like publish it. And so I think that's another system, like really having that lined up so that it's easy. Like either of us could do it because we mm-hmm. both know and can find where it is.
Totally.
What and, about you? What systems would you?
Yeah, I mean, we've done it all the way to social media. Yeah, because I think like when you're both running, like this is the thing, like when you're running your own business alone, there's a lot of things that get stuck in your head and you're like, I'm going to do it eventually or I'm going to get there. But again, like a streamlined platform, like we use Notion, which we're going to evolve and expand on Notion to make it so elite that like mm-hmm. when yeah. we get into Notion, like we know exactly what we're doing that day, what needs to do to move the needle. It also takes the pressure of like having to remember everything. Yeah. You can just be like, oh, okay, this is what I need to move on. But it also creates clarity on like, I finished this step, Sam takes this next step. And that's how you get to this place of like really scaling out your business. So then we're not constantly leaning on each other and saying like, did you do the thing yeah. or
what were you supposed to do again?
Like,
what
did you check? Like yeah. that is there. Like, what do you mean? And like, yes, there's still some of that because we forget everything. We don't can't remember everything, but we really, really started to create the systems there. Mm-hmm. I mean, also in our email marketing mm-hmm. and the funnels in the back end. So like all of that is automated for us. It's not like we're sending a personal email every single time
yeah.
that someone signs up for the journey. Like that is completely taken care of.
ManyChat is another one
too. Oh, ManyChat is really, really good. ManyChat has been super supportive and like we're using it right now for just if someone comments on any of our posts, it gets sent out for us. That not only gives us the time to not sit there because you guys – two of our podcast episodes, or one of our podcast episodes went viral, Nick's episode. Yeah. And Sam and I did not want to make the $15 investment at the beginning because we should have. I'm like, we can do this. And like, we didn't have a lot of traction on things. Like, yeah. We didn't know that things were going to go off that way.
Yeah.
There was two or three days where like,
all we were doing was replying to people.
Replying to people manually. Sitting there in bed for hours.
Yeah.
And sending them the link for the episode. And what's so sad, I will be honest, like that episode specifically like should have had like 5,000, 10,000 listens. Mm-hmm. But I think we only got it up to like 700. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we didn't have money chat at the time.
Yeah.
And then Alana's episode has hit like 3,000, 4,000. Mm-hmm. On the listeners.
I still see people commenting, even on TikTok too.
They're still reaching out. But again, it's because people wanted that system. They wanted that easy delivery. And it's not leaning on us like, hey, I'm having coffee. Like, I don't need to sit there and respond to TikToks or Instagram messages. Yeah. But again, the way that our business is set up in a way where the podcast listeners is important to us. Mm-hmm. So that was a lesson learned.
Yeah, that was luckily it was early on. It was our first and only episode that went viral that we weren't prepared for.
But damn, those are some late nights.
Yeah.
Those were some really late nights. You guys have no idea, laying in bed and just responding to people or dealing with their feedback and talking to them and being like, calm down.
Oh, yeah, true. That too.
That was also the first one.
Everyone had an opinion. Yeah, that's right.
And then the next one on Alana's episode was the other one that went viral that we did an episode on because, again, we had so many haters and people were so mean. And they're still hating. Now I don't even see them.
Yeah, I don't look anymore.
I don't even know.
I just see the women come through. They're like, this is my marriage. I'm like, yeah, girl.
Yeah, listen to it. KMS, I think those were like the really main systems. I mean, even systems for recording days, like that evolved for us so much where like we originally started with, oh my gosh, we need to fit in everything into a weekend. We got an Airbnb. We did 6 to 8 episodes 2 days in a row back to back.
That was crazy.
Who are we? And the fact that we were still like alive by the end of that, I crashed and burned the next day.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
We both did.
And so every episode past that, we've been able to get to this place of getting to a place where now we know systematically what to do, how many people we can have in a day.
What's our capacity,
what's important to us, making sure that we're being strategic with the intros and the outros ahead of time, not doing them in London
a month later,
trying to remember the conversation.
What did we talk about in this episode?
So there's just so many learnings, and this is the fun part about business because like, okay, we could have done that a little bit more efficiently, or we could have done that more proactively, waiting until last minute because we're like trying to figure it out.
Yeah. What surprised you the most about this year?
Can't throw me the question without preparation.
She didn't know I was going to ask this.
I don't know. Honestly, like how many people came to our events?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I haven't done the numbers, but I think we've hosted up to 300 people.
Mm-hmm. Mine's a little like a twist off of that, which is just like the feedback from the people that we had at our events.
Yeah.
And the guests we've had.
Yeah, the guests have been incredible, you guys. I mean, that's the other thing about podcasting that a lot of people don't, I think people love the most. Like if you're into podcasting, it's because you want to meet other people. Mm-hmm. But the caliber of people that have come onto the show are just next level. And they're also really good humans. Like such good humans. And the kinds of humans that like we want to hang out with, and
can we be friends after this
episode? And I'm like, how do we wrap our arms around you guys, because they're just such great people. And when the other thing about in person is like when someone's in body, you could really feel that they really care about their work and they care. Mm-hmm. Like they're putting a lot of time and energy into their craft, you know, like they're trying to master their craft.
Yeah,
that's a really good one.
Yeah, I think too, like it made me realize that not only are these people showing up fully authentic and fully embodied, but there's still areas they're working on. Like it was some of the, if you've listened to us before, you know, the last question we always ask is where in your life do you want to be more fully expressed? And the answers sometimes surprise me with the guests. I'm like, oh, that's not what I would have thought you would have said. Like I would have thought you were confident in that area, or it definitely humanized people even more, which just always feels good. You just always see yourself in that. You're like, oh yeah, okay. I'm struggling with that too. Like, cool, I get that, you know?
That's the same feedback we've gotten in the journey for like the accountability group.
Yeah.
Where one of the guests in there, she was like, I was so surprised to be around these people that have been coaches for 10 to 20 years or have been on social media for a really long time, and they're still struggling with certain parts of themselves. And I think this is kind of like brings it back to like, we're all in it.
Yeah.
And every day we're finding like new parts of us that want to be expressed or unraveling something that we haven't been to. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. Like, if you have figured that out, maybe you're an alien, but like, it's not true. And that's the other thing that's been every event, same conversations. Some people are going through it. People you would never thought were going through it. Our podcast guests, the people that are on there and they share like, where are they feeling called to be fully expressed? Like, we just had someone else on here and I was like, I would never have thought about that about you, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the other thing to, for, I think everyone to remember is like,
this we're is a lifelong all journey. In it.
And I think that's what's special about our community is like, our virtual community is like that. It is an opportunity to not only be seen in a real way, but also to be celebrated and expanded in the way that you feel called by the other people in the group.
Yeah. And supported. I feel like it's such a supportive group too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that surprised me about the group. The amount of times that they're like, wait, I'm not going to see you next week. I'm so sad. Or like the days where I did not want to host, even personally, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to get on and be on Zoom because I've had a full day. But then the minute that I'm on there, I'm like, wow, I feel so much more connected to other people. And I think the like some of the last words I would love to say is like, put yourself out there, because in the connection of people, whether it's online or in person, like it definitely returns in twofold. Like it is just a really incredible return of investment of time if you're willing to do that.
And one of my favorite things that we had in our conversation with June is like, don't be afraid to show up vulnerably as all of yourself, even if you're having a bad day. Like he spoke, if you listen to his episode, he talks about how he showed up, he shows up in conversation. He has coffee all the time with people and he shows up just real, no matter what he's feeling or what he's experiencing. And that was so inspiring. I think we do that as well. And that's why people love our events, because we're just showing up and being ourselves and being authentic and talking about our struggles or talking about our wins or whatever. And I think we need, you know, this is your permission slip to do that, to be that.
So good. So as we wrap up a little bit, and like we can end it up on, where are you feeling called to be more fully expressed?
I don't know. Do you have your answer first?
No, I asked it to you. You get to sit. You did the same thing to me. I have no idea.
Well, I feel like I've come a long way in fully expressing myself, but I think one area I would want to express myself more is probably in business. I feel like I show up well here, but in my jewelry business, I think there's a part of me that still, I saw someone post the other day, it was a picture of a gold paperclip and it was from Tiffany's, and it said, if Tiffany's can sell a gold paperclip for $1,500, you can stick to your price. And that really hit me because I'm like, ooh, yeah, that feels edgy for me. So I think for me, I think, and it could be in fully expressed too, but just like knowing my value. And I think when it comes to like friendship and like a one-on-one basis, I know my value really well. Like I love to show up for people, but I think in general, there's always a part of me that's like even earlier today, I would say like, give them the best lighting, do this, you know? And it's, I think there's a part of me too that's like, you're valuable too. You can also hold that value. So I think in general and throughout my life, like realizing that everyone that I attract is also a reflection of me. And so that's, if I'm looking at other people and saying, wow, you're an epic human, like I'm attracting you in my life. So that says something about me too. So I think having a little more ego in that sense, or a little more just like, oh yeah, you're a value. Like you deserve to be in this room, or you deserve to charge this amount, or whatever it is. And I would say, I think that could show up in any area of my life.
What part in business when it comes to the cost?
Yeah, like the price I charge, or just like, is my work valuable enough? Or it's more, it's not even really the number. It's just like being like, oh yeah, I have something to offer that's different, like finding my unique voice in that. And that's the same in here too, right? Of like, oh yeah, people should want to be in our community. We're epic, you know? And being okay saying that instead of, sometimes I feel like I'm a little too humble, like almost to a fault of like not wanting to take that praise, or that, you know, really it's just like I'm valuable and you're lucky to know me. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say that.
Yeah. And it also feels like the action of like receiving someone choosing you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that stems too from not being able to accept praise or gifts or attention, which was definitely how I used to be. Like, it's so hard to receive. And I think the more I've been in this dynamic and the more our business has grown or my personal business has grown, I realize like, oh, I deserve to receive. It's okay to receive. Like, I'm safe to receive. So, and I think part of that is knowing your value, knowing your worth. And it can also be a detriment if you're too humble or too just like, no, it's okay. Like, no, you have to stand visibly and be seen. So,
damn, that's good. Okay, I think it's so good. No, I think it's so good for anyone that's hearing. So I think you're going to, I think we all reach that at different levels in life, love or business, you know, like giving ourselves the opportunity to be seen and being like, yeah, I do good work.
Yeah. I mean, even in my marriage, after 10 years, there's parts of me that I'm like, ooh, there's a part of me that doesn't want to be seen vulnerably by this person. Mm-hmm. Even now, after 10 years of like, I mean, you'd think we know everything about each other, but I just think that it's.
There's stuff that Austin hasn't seen.
I think there's parts.
I'm joking, but yes, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, because we're always evolving, right? So then it's like, oh, this is a new version of me, or this is a new version of you. Yeah. And I think that's like a life evolving lesson for me to be in my value.
I love that. That's a good share.
Thanks. And you?
I'd say like it's similar in the sense of like not really owning my value, but just standing in my power. I feel like, how do I say this? I was telling Nick most recently, like 2019, Karenna like was so confident, like almost expected things. Like I didn't even like think differently. Mm-hmm. But it was like egoic, you know, in some way. I was like, oh, but I didn't give myself the attention. So like, for example, making over six figures, that was like a non-negotiable for me. Mm-hmm. I've always been like that. And then I went through like my burnout season, and then I just had to find myself. I also kind of came to like almost healing too, not like healing too much, but almost like becoming way too aware of stuff and like opening up stuff, wounds that like needed to be open, but they left me more insecure than I needed to be to some extent. And so when I think about like being fully expressed, like it's kind of going back to that part of me that was like so confident and not like expected money to be like my value to be seen through finances and wealth, but like there was a standard that I held myself to, but like that was the only standard.
Yeah.
And then the more that I unlearned and went through my unraveling, my standard got lower, and I'm like, wait, no, I want to go back to that standard with ease and love and humility and being humble, but like still holding that sense of like I am powerful. I also think about that with my skill sets. Like there's certain things that I like, relationship building, being curious, like being in the room with people. Like those are all things that I love, 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 love so much. And in my burnout season, I was like, oh, I can't do any of that. And so I think like more stepping into like owning like, yeah, I am someone that sees people fully, that loves relationships, that loves connection. And I have a lot of things to say. And knowing my value in the sense of like kind of expecting like, yeah, this is how much I'm worth. You want me to speak at your whatever here, you know?
Yeah. I love that, because you're moving from the place of like my ego deserves this. And then you went through this like spiritual transformation, this inner work. And now it's like, well, yeah, I deserve this. But because also like I'm heart centered and I'm showing up and I'm providing like inherent value versus like my ego needs it. Cause yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And even at the time, like, I don't think I was egoic in it. It was just something that like.
You didn't have the doubt is what it sounds like, right?
Like it kind of it makes me feel like a little funny. But like I feel like sometimes like rich kids have this like snoot to them where they're like. They have their nose up and they're like, this is all that I see because they've never been to the underworld of like what other people expect. And they expect like the to whatever, right? Like whatever they need because that's what they know. And I feel like I lived in that for a little bit where I thought everyone was a good human. I loved all my friendships. I thought every person I met was doing good. And then life hit me a little bit and I realized, oh, people aren't always so good. Like not everyone is so nice. Like I just had this like fairy tale view or optimism, I guess, optimistic perspective of life at the time where I'm like, everything's great. It's rainbows and butterflies. Life is so good. I'm going to make this much money. And like, I didn't really have a reality set until life kind of hit me and was like, Nope.
We'll humble you just
a little. We'll humble you just a little bit. And now I want to get back to that place while also holding the capacity to be in the humbling.
I feel like the beautiful thing about that is it takes you to your depths and you mm-hmm. really discover deeper parts of yourself in those moments. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to bring it back, be even more relatable and still know your value. Like that's the beautiful message I think at the end is like you can get back to that place. You're going to go beyond like where mm-hmm. you were, but it's also from a place of authenticity and from depth instead of just mm-hmm. living in that optimism or that the story that we're telling ourselves, which is so.
Yeah. It's so interesting. But yeah, just like owning my power more and also just leaning into my strengths more.
Yeah.
And not necessarily making it something of me, which is the other thing. I think sometimes it's so easy when you're so aware to be like, well, I love this, but like, is my ego playing a part in that? Like, am I taking something from this person? Is it out of lack? It's like, no, like this is probably just like my soul's expression. Like, how can I continue to amplify that? Mm-hmm. That's the best word. I want to amplify my soul's expression in ways that I haven't done. Like, for example, even being a leader, like there are parts of me that are like, well, I want them to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like you lead. It makes me more comfortable if we lead
mm-hmm.
versus me just being like, I am a leader, like kind of embodying that leadership right. role. And any room, like a networking room, a business room, our relationship, like Nick's relationship, just like owning the fact that like I embody a leader.
Yeah.
And like amplifying that, because there's definitely some edginess to like that feels a little too much.
Really? I think it's so interesting because I just assumed I'm learning something new in this moment. I just assumed you like to lead, because I feel like in a lot of our like online in our virtual community a lot, you do lead, and I just let you because I'm like, she enjoys it. She's great at it. So that's so interesting.
I like, love leading. But yeah. I also want other people to lead. Like there's a part of me is like, why do I have to be the one to lead?
Oh, well, I'll lead anytime.
No. But I get it. It comes from a place of wounding. Like no, it's kind of like, I'm always the one that has to fix the problem, or I'm always the one that has to dive in. Like I felt this in my relationship with my families. Like
yeah.
I'm the problem solver. And like there was this like wound of like no one does that for me.
Well, you are Pluto and Scorpio. So that is our role as all millennials, Pluto and Scorpio. It's healing what? The family trauma, yeah. healing the lineage.
Yeah. Like why do I have to do this work? Like yeah. there's like a little bit of that energy versus like really getting to the place of like, no, I get to do this work. Like, yeah. I am this work, or I am this leader. Like I do love leading. Like in corporate, I lead. And people don't lead. And it kind of maybe it bugs me because I want other people to realize that they could be leaders too.
Yeah. It is true. A lot of people don't lead, or they're afraid to lead. Yeah, they don't step up.
And I see that in corporate. Maybe we can do an episode on that, because like being in corporate, like there is this like belief that you're not supposed to step out of your toes. Like I was at another community event the other day, and she's like, you know, being in corporate, like you were only spoken to when you were spoken to. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I've never done that. I've been in a room with men, like 10 men. They're all having an opinion. I'm like, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I immediately put myself in there.
I'm the same way. I'm always like usually the first one to raise my hand or answer because no one else is answering. So I get that.
I think maybe we can do an episode on like, what does it look like to break through that? Because I think, yes, maybe in corporate specifically or in specific rooms, there is this set of like, if you're spoken to, you're spoken to. Mm-hmm. You can only speak when I speak to you. Kind of energy, but it's not true. Like a lot of the times it's like more of the perception that we're living through, and we think that we cannot talk because you're in the room with the CEO.
Right.
Like, no. If anything, any single time that I raise my hand and ask a question, the CEO is DMing me, like slacking me. He's like, I'm so glad you asked that question.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Versus everyone you're else
about in, things that
but other everyone else aren't. In the room is so quiet and so scared. I'm like, he probably appreciates me because he's probably waiting on his managers to have the answers, but I'm asking questions in a way that no one else sees. And I think we forget that all the time.
I did agree with what Alexis Frank said in our community too, which is like, they need you more than you need them. You know, like the CEO is running the show, but like the underneath is who is supporting the company. Like
they also don't know anything.
Yeah.
They don't know the weeds. They're hearing from other people, which I think also like a really good leader listens. Mm-hmm. And if anything, like the one thing I've learned in leadership or in management is like a good leader wants to be led.
Yeah.
100%. And we forget, like we think that the leader wants to lead, but like a good leader wants to be led. Like they want to, for you to tell them like, hey, this is what I need help with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leader takes it from them. Like, all right, I'm gonna make it happen for you.
Right.
But a good leader listens and they're curious. They're like, okay, what can I do to move you from here to here? But we always think it's the opposite. We're like waiting for our boss to tell us what to do. And I'm like, no, A good boss is going to say, what do you need from me to make you successful?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's my wrap.
I love it.
Anything else?
I was just going to say, if you want to hear more on leadership, go and listen to our
The podcast
101 party. Episode, which was our podcast party where we had Dakota Lawndhair and Ryan Moresby White, who spoke about leadership in relationships and business, and it was so good.
Yeah, it was really, really
good.
Not
to plug, but to plug.
Yeah, go check out 101.
101.
All right. With that being said, thank you so much for listening to this episode.
See you next time. We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in you on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your honest thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create content that better serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.